Let's go to the movies.
I'm Julia Child. Bon appetit.
Before she became a cooking legend, Julia Child was just an American living in France.
Shouldn't I find something to do?
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
But what does Julia Child have to do with me, lowly cubicle worker Julie Powell?
I could write a blog. I have thoughts.
Write a blog about cooking.
I'm not a real cook like Julia Child.
Julia Child wasn't always Julia Child.
Opening this week, the movie Julie and Julia tells the story of Julia Child, doyenne of the American kitchen and author with Simone Beck of Mastering the Art of French Cooking, a genuine classic of American food writing still in print after 40 years. But it also tells the story of the less famous Julie Powell, a 29-year-old secretary from the suburbs of New York who undertook to cook her way through the entire 2 volumes and 524 recipes of Julia Child's book and to record the process in a blog. Well, long before Hollywood picked up the story, I spoke to Julie Powell soon after she completed her challenge in 2003. She described it as something of an act of desperation. What did she mean by that?
I think that, you know, I was 29 when I began this, just a couple months shy of the big 3-0, which before you've crossed that line can seem fairly devastating. And I had spent some frustrated years not really knowing where I was going, what I was doing. An enthusiastic amateur cook with not enough time or energy to actually do the cooking, and a frustrated writer as well. And this came to me as a sort of midnight revelation. My husband says it was his idea, but we argue about that. But it was a sort of act of desperation in that it was a way for me to sort of jumpstart myself, jumpstart my writing life, give myself a structure other than my daily subway commute. So in that sense, it was an act of desperation, but it has been possibly irrational, very, very fruitful, and it's been quite a ride. But I think that there is a more essential fact, which is that eating well should be a rule of life, should be a right that everyone can enjoy. I love that Julia Child came at a time when we Americans didn't know cuisine from a Swanson's TV dinner, and she taught us that eating well was something that we could do given what we had available and the time we had, and that all it took was some care and some thought and enjoyment of the table and the pleasures of the table.
And I should possibly explain to some of our listeners who might not know that Julia Child is really big in the States, a very, very early TV cook. And the book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, is a classic, but of course there are other classics. So why did you choose this one?
There are a couple of reasons. First of all, it was a book that my mother had. She had the 1967 edition in her home my entire life. And I used to flip through it. It used to be a sort of totemic object for me, even as a child. And later on as well, when I began to be interested in cooking, there were all these exotic, sort of slightly dated sometimes, but very interesting, slightly terrifying recipes in there that, you know, you would, how to bone a whole duck, how to eat calves' brains, how to kill a lobster, all sorts of fascinating purees and sauces. And so there is the totemic quality of the book itself as an object. But I also do feel, as you mentioned, Julia Child really does loom large as a dowager of American cuisine. Before, you know, there's a whole lot of food obsession now in the food TV and celebrity chefs and that's all great, and I think it's reflective of our more sophisticated eating habits, but I do think that none of it could have been possible without her.
Now, you've mentioned the structure of the book, how it builds on simple techniques and gradually takes you through to the more complicated techniques. Mm-hmm. How then did you manage to make your way through it over a year? I mean, did you just sort of cook all of chapter one on day one and then proceed on the next day to chapter two, or what?
Right. Well, yeah, basically, when I first started thinking about it, the first idea, the most obvious idea would be to cook it from the beginning to the end, but then you run into the very obvious problem of okay, I'm going to be eating nothing but dessert for a month and a half, or aspic, for God's sake. So the basic methodology that I devised is that I would move through each chapter chronologically, but I would mix up the chapters so that on Monday I would do the first soup, and on Tuesday I would do the first sauce recipe, and on Wednesday I'd do the first chicken or poultry, and so forth and so on. Now, that's fallen apart a little bit as time's gone on, mostly because some of the chapters are just longer than others. So I ran out of soups, I ran out of fish, and I ran out of poultry, and was there at the end with nothing but red meat and dessert. But that was the basic concept. So I could retain that building from the basic techniques within each food group.
What recipes did you find the most difficult?
When I began, a lot of the sort of basics of understanding when a sauce was thick enough, or learning the basic concepts of how to look at the food and know when it was done and know when it was overdone. And then as you move on, other things become difficult for other reasons. The first aspic I made sort of the old-fashioned way with, you know, boiling pig's hooves and so forth for the gelatin, which was just horrible. And I mean, it kind of worked, I guess, at the end in the fact that it gelled, but it was, you know, smelled like a tannery. The most recently, I just did a boned duck that I stuffed with pate, and I sewed the duck. You know, I had to bone it, keep it whole, keep the skin whole, stuff the pate inside it, sew the duck back up, and bake it in a pastry crust. And the whole idea of boning a duck while keeping it in one piece shocked and appalled me, but I managed to do it, and it was very rewarding to bone a duck, as I found out.
You have my admiration.
Well, thank you. I got a very, very sharp knife right before I started. It worked.
On the subject of difficulties, did you encounter any obstacles in sourcing your ingredients?
Well, from time to time. I mean, I do live in New York City. Almost anything you need can be found. Mostly it was a matter of expense more than unavailability. It was, can I pay rent and buy this third veal roast of the month?
Another problem you seem to have had concerns sometimes sourcing and dealing with offal. Very early on, you actually have a problem that's I've encountered. You buy a chicken and there are no giblets. So how did you get over the whole offal question?
Well, you know, one of the things, and I did mention this earlier, and I think it bears mentioning, is that I'm a recovering picky eater. When I was a kid, I really didn't eat.
Yeah, we should say, we should tell people here and now that very early on in the weblog, you confessed that you'd just eaten an egg for the first time.
Right.
I was amazed.
Yes, I know. It's terrible. I mean, the thing is that I've been trying to recover from my pickiness for a long time, but there were these big gaping holes, the egg question. I have eaten eggs. It's just that they had to be beaten up and either baked in a cake or have enough cheese in there that I couldn't actually taste the eggs. But anything that had a yolk and a white was absolutely out of the question. And one of the things when I started the project was, you're flipping through this book and you say, okay, I have to eat poached eggs, and then I have to eat sweetbreads, and then I have to eat brains. And it became part of the challenge to me was to, I am going to cook with these things and prepare these things, and at that point perhaps I will be more open-minded about eating them, and which in fact has been almost invariably the case. Even with the calves brains, which was probably something that I had the most trouble with, I at least feel now that I have cooked with them and I've handled them and I have dealt with the deep philosophical musings that one deals with when cleaning calves' brains, but I'm not afraid of them anymore.
What recipes stand out for you now that you've plowed through the book, ones that you've really enjoyed?
A lot of them. The one thing that it's become sort of a trope just because it's become very popular among my readers, it seems that I've introduced a generation of people to baked cucumbers, which was something that I was extremely dubious about when I saw that recipe, because you're supposed to peel and slice up these cucumbers and toss them with butter and bake them for an hour, which just I couldn't imagine how that would possibly taste like anything except pickle mush. But it's actually quite lovely. Again, in terms of foods that I wouldn't have eaten before, I think there's a, or where I would have had trouble with before, there was there are lots of quiches, and many of them are quite lovely, but there's a Roquefort quiche, and I had always historically had a problem with veined cheeses, but the Roquefort quiche is one of the most purest tasting things that I made. It was, you know, essence of quiche, and again, in terms of opening doors, taste-wise, the Roquefort quiche was a real winner for me. And now Eric has become addicted to all of our duck recipes.
That's your husband.
Yes, my husband, Eric. He wants duck all the time now. I have to tell him, no.
You get over that. I've been through that. when you first set out on this journey, was the weblog, the online diary, a key part of the project, or did that just emerge as you worked your way through the book?
No, the weblog was definitely a key part about this at the beginning. This was a way to basically get myself on a personal training program and make myself write every day, which proved to be way more effective than I would have ever imagined because, you know, in relatively short order got an audience and they pushed me. They wouldn't let me quit or slack off for very long at all. So it's really been, I mean, so many of the comments to me have been just very encouraging and I can't believe you did this and congratulations, you killed the lobster or whatever it is. But the other thing that they've done, which is really wonderful, is many of my readers clearly have a common enjoyment of food. And so they start conversations with themselves, and it's become a real sort of community.
What are your feelings now it's all over? What as you look back on the highlights and the lowlights?
A feeling of accomplishment, which is so bizarre because it's a completely loopy idea. But if I hadn't done it and I had spent the last year going to work, I don't know where I would be. I would be suicidal right now. So I think to me, it's a great sort of testament. I chose the absurd path because it seemed like the right thing to do at the time after many, many years of trying to do the reasonable thing and finding just frustration and dead ends. And it has been a remarkable journey for me, and it's actually opened a lot of doors for me. So this project has been a way for me to start finding the life that I've really wanted to lead.
Julie Powell, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Julie Powell, who tackled the design challenge, designing a menu, designing a plate of food, of cooking her way through Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking. The movie Julie and Julia with Meryl Streep opens nationally tomorrow, and you can hear Jason DeRosso's review of it on Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 8:30 and on Sundays at 11:30, both a.m.